We were discussing the subject of Ma'rifatul Deen, Deen Shanasi, recognizing the religion, and we discussed about the fact that the religion has to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the final purpose of this religion is to make us nurani. And when a person becomes nurani, he can witness the nur of the heavens and earth. He can see the nur as-samawati wal-ard. Now, the bigger nuraniyat you have in your own qalb, the longer and deeper will be your vision of the nur of the heavens and earth. And the lesser nuraniyat you yourself have in your own qalb, the lesser of the nur of the heavens and earth you will see. And those of the people who have no nuraniyat in their qalb will not be able to witness any of the nur around them, despite the fact that the nur is always available and everywhere, and it's available everywhere. So, fi kulli shay'in lahu ayatun tadullu ala annahu wahidu. Everything has a sign which guides us towards the fact that Allah is wahid and one. So the nuraniyat of Allah, the mazhariyat of Allah, Allah's reflection and tajalli is found everywhere in the universe for those who have the nuraniyat in their qalb. So the deen has arrived to make ourselves nurani, so we can witness the nuraniyat which is already found in the heavens and earth. The more we increase in our own nur in the qalb, the more we see the nuraniyat in the heavens and earth, samawat and ard around us, and increase in our vision till the time arrives that a person becomes mazhar and starts reflecting like a mirror. Just imagine there is a sun shine, and you put in front of the sun, you are standing here on earth, and you put a mirror. What is going to happen? The mirror is going to reflect the sun rays, take the sun rays in itself, and reflect the rays out of it. If the mirror is of some low quality, the reflection procedure may not be as perfect as it is expected. But if the mirror is of the highest clarity and quality, its reflection will also depend on the quality and the clarity of the mirror. Isn't that right? So our ruh and qalb, if it is clean from the sins and zulmat and darkness, we will reflect the nuraniyat of the asma and the names and sifat, the attributes of Allah, because He is running the entire universe with one or several attributes of His. And if we start reflecting, then we will also be able to basically become nurani and achieve things with the mashiyat and izn of Allah. So the people in the paradise similarly are going to achieve all what they want. Isn't that right? Lahum ma yashtahoon. So whatever they wish, whatever they like, they will find. They will get whatever they want. Everything they wish, they will find it. They will get it. Because once a person belongs to the Jannat and he belongs to that high level, he has already reached a level where he, through the name of Allah, can achieve anything that he wishes to achieve. So this is the high level that Allah wants us to This is one of the high levels that Allah wants us to reach. So the subject of the religion, you know, what we call in illatun maddi, the subject upon which the religion is applied is the human. Human is the subject of the religion in Islam. So we are supposed to, through our aql and through our fikr and tafakkur and through our actions supposed to accommodate through intelligence, understanding and actions, we are supposed to accommodate the teachings of Allah and apply it in our practical lives. So according to what my teacher said in Farsi, let me repeat that, you know, where he says, you know, basically, jazm-e ilmi wa azm-e amali. That means you require your intellectual certitude and yaqeen and your practical concrete will, your concrete will to practice what you learn. So this jazm-e ilmi and azm-e amali is required for the subject of the religion, which is a human being. When you receive the religion, you know, in your qalb, that's what you're supposed to do. So you need to have intellectually and in terms of knowledge, you need to have yaqeen in the teachings of Allah, jazm-e ilmi. And when it comes to having, after having the yaqeen, when it comes to practice, you have to make sure that you have strong will, that you should not deviate and practice and adjust your behavior according to that. This jazm-e ilmi and azm-e amali is going to make sure you are applying the divine teachings on your soul correctly and you are moving forward towards the hadaf and direction. On the other side, as we are discussing the religion and its ma'rifat and shanakht and pehchan and recognizing the religion, there is a deen of adyan of batil. There are religions of batil also available around us, which are not one, there are several. I already told you the reason, because the mabda'un fa'ili, that means the cause of the religion of batil is the hawa nafs, khahishat-e nafsani, human whims and wishes and desires. And because the whims and wishes are several, so the religions of batil are also several. They are not one religion of batil. The religion of batil does exist in this world, but remember that the wujud and existence of the deenul batil is bil-arav, it's not bizat. That means it's a dependent existence. It is not independent existence. It exists because it is depending on something else. And what is that something else upon the religion of batil is depending to exist? It depends, the religion of batil only exists in the name of Haq. Because the power, the home of the power is nothing but Haq. So what the religion of batil does, it always clads itself and covers up itself with the garment of Haq and poses itself in front of the silly people to be Haq, who presents itself in the form of Haq, and that's how the people buy it. So it is depending on the existence of the religion of Haq and surviving because of the stupidity of the masses. And that's why we are focusing on intellect and tafakkur. As long as the humans keep on thinking and doing tafakkur and using their brain in the right direction, adjusting their mind, utilizing process with the teachings of the prophets and imams, without deviating to your own opinions, as long as you are utilizing your brain according to the teachings of the prophets and the imams, you will be able to distinguish between the deen of batil and deen of haq because of your taqwa. مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ فُرْقَانًا. Whoever has taqwa, Allah provides furqan to him. And in the tafsir, our scholars have mentioned furqan is the noor and istidad and salahiyat and the power, in other words, which empowers you to distinguish between haq and batil. So in any stage of our life, if you get confused about what is haq and what is batil in your own life, Remember, there's something missing in your own taqwa. Because it's impossible for a person who is on the level of taqwa to fail to distinguish between haq and batil. So any human being, generally speaking, at any stage of his life who gets stuck between distinguishing haq and batil, or he may end up considering batil to be haq, or may end up considering haq to be batil in his life, must understand there is naqs and defect in his own taqwa. Because if we have taqwa, we are guaranteed to have the noor that can distinguish between the haq and batil. We are guaranteed to have that. So when somebody doesn't have that noor to distinguish, that means there is something missing in the taqwa. Afarra'ayta, Quran says, Suratul Jasiyah, Afarra'ayta man ittakhadha ilahahu hawahu. Have you seen the person who has taken his hawa, his desire to be his lord? So people are worshipping their desires. And Allah is considering, if we obey what we want to do, what we like to do in our life, Allah is considering this policy as worshipping your desire. This is Deen of Batil. We don't grow horns when we start practicing Deen of Batil. We are just like any other human on, you know, out there. You know, there's no visible sign growing on your head or on your face that people can now recognize you are a follower of the Deen of Batil. No. Followers of the Deen of Batil are just humans like us. They have two eyes, they have two ears, they have a mouth, they have hands, they're just like us. But their amal is the daleel that they are following the religion of batil, and their himakat and lack of use of aql and tafakkur is the reason why they became the victims of the waswasa of shaitan. So aqaid and the ahkam and akhlaq, which are learned from the batil religion, are all based on wahm and khayal. And none of those aqaid are based on yaqeen, you know. And no one has yaqeen. No one has yaqeen except those who follow the haq. Only the followers of haq are ahlul yaqeen. Among the followers of haq, some are ahlul yaqeen. But ahlul yaqeen are found only among the followers of haq. The followers of the batil can never claim that we have yaqeen in what we believe and practice. What they believe in practice is based on waham and khiyal, imaginations and thoughts, not yaqeen and certitude. So this is about the theoretical explanation. And the practical policy of those who are following Deen of Batil, their practice is summarized in two words, shahwat and ghadab. That means everything that a follower of the Deen of Batil performs in his life is either taking its roots into his shahawat, his desires, or his ghadab, his anger problem. These two are the things which are basically driving the follower of Deen of Batil to make his decisions in his practical life. Every amal of the follower of Deen of Batil, his amal is based either on shahawat or on ghadab. And every belief that he believes in is either based on waham or khayal. None of his beliefs are based on yaqeen, and none of his a'mal are based on sharia. So look at the clear differences. So the yardstick that we have in our hand to judge is the sharia. You know, the rulings of sharia are crystal clear, and there's no ambiguity. And of course, the mawdu and subject of the Deen of Batil is also a human being. Is a human who falls prey to all those deceptions and starts following his desires, and Satan deceives him and becomes a follower of Satan, who is a sworn enemy of Allah. فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I swear to your izzat, your dignity, that I will mislead all of them. إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Except those of your servants who are mukhlas. Shaitan did not say mukhlis. Shaitan said mukhlas. That's what we were discussing in the lectures on Thursday nights before the month of Ramadan about ikhlas. So the subject of the Deen of Batil is also a human. And illatun ghaiya, the destination. We discussed the hadaf. the goal of the Deen of Haqq in elaborately doing the Ibadat of Allah. Ibadat provides you ma'rifat, man abadani faqad arifani. We discuss the ma'rifat is the middle level goal of the creation. Then we discuss the knowing about the ilm and qudrat of Allah. You know, I told you the ayahs from Surah Al-Talaq. Allah alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawatim wa min al-ardi mithlahunna yatanazzalu al-amru baynahunna lita'lamu anna allaha ala kulli shay'in qadir wa anna allaha qad ahata bi kulli shay'in ilma. So knowing, in the light of this verse we understand, knowing about the ilm and qudrat of Allah are medium level goals. So, and then we discuss the final goal, which is becoming nurani. So these, what we discuss about the goals of the deen of batil, deen of following the deen of haq. Now coming to the deen of batil, that also has a goal. What is the goal for those who are pursuing the deen of batil? Now let's go to the Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 179, where Allah says, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَعْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. So in the light of this verse, we understand that a lot of humans and jinns are created for the hellfire. كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ. Allah says, a lot. وَلَقَدْ ذَرَعْنَا. Certainly we have created a lot of humans and jinns لِجَهَنَّمَ, for the sake of hell. وَلَقَدْ ذَرَعْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. So a lot of humans. Allah didn't create anybody to go to hell, to hellfire. Allah created everyone to go to hell, to go to the Jannat and paradise. The people themselves didn't listen to the teachings of Allah and landed themselves in the hell because of their wishes. Allah is not asking them to go to hell. And Allah, who lit up the hellfire? And that was a discussion that was remaining, actually. When we, if you remember, we discussed about the fact about, the fact that Jannat and Jahannam, we believe, exist right now. We discussed already. And the only thing that was remaining in that discussion is that how did the Jahannam got lit up and ignited for the first time? First time in the history of ours. Who started the hellfire? And how? What was the first spark? Because whenever you want to light up a fire in your house or anywhere else in camping, you need a igniting spark. First component of the igniting of a fire, you need a spark. Second component, you need the firewood. Isn't that right? These are two things we need to ignite the fire. So who was the sparking, igniting force of the hell, Jahannam, and who was the firewood? This is the discussion which is remaining, inshallah, which I will do in one of the speeches. But basically, Allah doesn't want anybody to go to hellfire. He wants everyone to go to heaven. But people don't want to follow the Sharia voluntarily with their free wills, and they will themselves land them into the hellfire. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah has already made clear, I did not create the jinn and humans except to worship me. He didn't want anybody to go to hell. He created the people to worship him. When we worship, we'll go to the paradise. Isn't that right? So people themselves don't want to worship. And they themselves voluntarily and wishfully will land themselves because of their own actions into the hellfire. So we find Imam Hussain alayhi salatu was salam, when he, what is the minimum, bare minimum, that a person gets classified as dhal and gumrah and misguided? What is the bare minimum definition? If a person do X type of action, he is now classified as a dhal, gumrah, misguided. أَدْنَى مَا يَكُونُ بِهِ الرَّجُلُ ضَالًا أَنْ لَا يَعْرِفُ حُجَّتَهُ. The minimum that a person, that will make a person gumrah and misguided, is that he doesn't know the Imam of his time. Doesn't have the right ma'rifat of the Imam of his time. That's the bare minimum that it takes to make us become dhal and gumrah and misguided. Now Imam Hussain alayhi salam is, see what Imam Hussain alayhi salam, when he arrived at Karbala, what does Imam Hussain alayhi salam say? After arriving at Karbala, and when he reached Karbala, he says, أَلَا تَرَوْنَ إِلَى الْحَقِّ لَا يُعْمَلُ بِهِ وَإِلَى الْبَاطِلِ لَا يُتَنَاهَا عَنْهِ. Don't you see that haqq is not practiced upon? That's what we are discussing, deen of haqq and deen of batil, isn't that right? So don't you see haqq is not practiced upon? وَالْبَاطِلِ لَا يُتَنَاهَا عَنْهِ. And people are not keeping away from batil. Nobody is blocking, nobody is stopping, nobody is forbidding the batil, forbidding the good and forbidding the bad. Amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar. Nobody is forbidding the batil. Li yarghab al mu'minu fi liqa'i Allah. It's the responsibility of a mu'min to be eager and keen and have raghbat and ishtiyaq in meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meeting with Allah, and then we need, of course, becoming shaheed. So it's the responsibility of a mu'min to get ready for shahadat. Inni la aral mawta illa sa'adatan wal hayata ma'al zalimina illa barama. I don't see, inni la aral mawt, I don't see the death except sa'adat. Spiritual and eternal success. Wal hayata ma'al zalimin, and living alongside the zalimin. That means the zalimeen are doing what they are doing with the free hand. And the Imam Hussain already said there is nobody who is blocking them from the haram. Nobody is forbidding them from the munkar and batil. From the batil. And nobody is asking them to do the haqq. So, وَالْحَيَاةَ مَعَ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا بَرَمَا. Except nang and ar and ruswai and insult. Living alongside the zalimeen and staying idle like a dumb and deaf person doing nothing. This is nothing but illa barama, except insult. And I already said in one of my speeches earlier, if you lose ghayrat and izzat and sharaf and karamat, then everything is okay after that. Nothing else remains. This is what Islam is. Islam is the religion of izzat and sharaf and karamat and ghayrat and hayat. And there are so some of the Muslims who don't have haya remaining, and that's why everything is okay for them. Everything is justifiable. There is ta'weed and tawji and justification for everything. You talk to them for 2 hours and you will never come to a decision, and the guy will continue to justify the insult done by Salman Rushdie. Because he himself doesn't have ghairat remaining in his qalb at all. So beghairati of some other person is okay for him. It's not okay for you, but it's okay for him. So the problem, this is the problem, it's about the values. It's all about the values. Now we Imam Hussain alayhi salam says that so Prophet had already said, لَقَدْ سَمِعْتُ, in another hadith Imam Hussain said, لَقَدْ سَمِعْتُ جَدِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ مُعَاوِيَ عَلَى مِنْبَرِي فَقَّرُوا بَطْنَهُ. I heard my grandfather Rasulullah saying, if you see Muawiyah on my minbar, open up his stomach. It's a kinaya lil qatl. وَقَدْ رَآهُ, and then Imam Hussain says, وَقَدْ رَآهُ أَهْلُ الْمَدِينَةِ عَلَى الْمِمْبَرِ. Yesterday, last night, we were condemning the behavior of the people in Kufa in the time of Amir Mumineen. Those, of course, not the muttaqi and salih people. We were talking about the bad people who did khiyanat towards Amir Mumineen. And tonight, it's about the people of Medina who did khiyanat towards Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And they did zulm to their own nafs and to the Islamic Ummah because they stayed silent over Muawiyah sitting on the minbar. وَقَدْ رَآهُ أَهْلُ الْمَدِينَةِ عَلَى الْمِنْبَرِ فَلَمْ يَبْكَرُوا فَابْتَلَاهُمُ اللَّهُ بِيَزِيدَ الْفَاسِقِ. They did not open up his stomach, so Allah subjected them with Yazid, who is Fasiq. So this is the punishment. The zalim ruler on a nation is the natija of the amal of that nation. People, those people who did zulm, you know, I don't want to mention names. You know, I don't want to intentionally mention names. If you want to know which country in Islamic Ummah will have the faraj, after all, when we will have all those problems ending? Enough is enough. The answer to the question, ask the people. Allah is not doing the zulm on anybody. Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam is ma'soom. Ask the people, when will they realize to start doing their duty? The duty of Sharia is clear. The tariq is clear, the hadaf is clear, the qiyadat is clear. Ask the people themselves, when they will start doing their fariza. Political fara'id I'm talking about, not the personal infiradi which the people of Kufa in time of Imam Hussein were also doing, praying and fasting and hijab and all that, and staying home and letting Muslim and Aqil get killed. I'm not talking about fara'id or infiradiyah. You never get mu'azzaz, you know, in the life by only doing the fara'id and infiradiyah. So people tolerated Muawiyah to be sitting on the minbar, didn't do their duty to Allah, subjected them with Yazid al-Fasiq. But Imam Hussain alayhi salam is not like that. He did his fariza, and now, so we find, and I'm coming to the end, I know it's these are, you know, the times in these nights are not as much, so you have to wake up for the sahar. On his way to Iraq, Imam Hussain alayhi salam was in a place in the middle of the safar and travel, and he learned that, please pay attention, that Ubaidullah ibn Hur al-Ju'fi is also present on the same place, the same manzil, the same station where the Qawafil Qafila caravan used to stop in the Sahara. So Imam Hussain learned that Ubaidullah ibn Hur al-Ju'fi is present in the same manzil. Imam Hussain sent Abdullah ibn Masruq al-Sha'bi. He's part of the qafila of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. He's the muazzin in the qafila of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Imam Hussain sent Abdullah ibn Masruq to go to Ubaidullah ibn Hur al-Ju'fi, you know, to call him to see Imam Hussain alayhi salam. This Abdullah ibn Masruq went there. He met with Ubaidullah ibn Hur and conveyed the message of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And this guy replied that I don't want to see him, and I don't want him to see me. This is the response of Abdullah ibn Hur al-Ju'fi. I don't want to see Hussein, and I don't want him to see me. So Abdullah ibn Masruq came back and informed Imam Hussein that this is what the guy says, you know. So Imam Hussein al-Islam himself, with some of his people, he himself went there to see him. When Imam Hussain came, he welcomed Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And look at what Imam Hussain alayhi salam says to him. Yabn al-Hur, Imam is talking to Abdullah ibn Hur al-Ju'fi. Inna ahla misrikum katabu ilayya annahum mujtami'una ala nusrati. People of your country have written to me, in other words, have written to me that they are gathered to help me. وَسَأَلُونِي الْقُدُومَ عَلَيْهِمْ, and they asked me to arrive towards them, to come to them. وَلَيْسَ الْأَمْرُ عَلَى مَا زَعَمُوا, whereas the situation of the people is not the way they wrote in their letters. I mean, their real situation about me is different from what they wrote in their letters. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ ذُنُوبًا كَثِيرًا, and you have a lot of sins. Imam Hussain is saying to Ubaidullah ibn Hur, Imam Hussain is the mother of Sattar al-Uyub, isn't it right? But now when he's talking about something, there are wisdoms behind that, why he's saying that. First of all, he's talking about those of the sins, you know, the scholars have mentioned in the tafsir that ihtimalan the ishara goes towards his political sins that he has committed,
because he supported the third Khalifa, and after that he started to support Muawiyah. And not just that, but he fought in Battle of Siffin against Imam Ali alayhi salam. So his political mistakes, his politically openly committed political sins, فَهَلَّكَ مِنْ تَوْبَةٍ تَمْحُ بِهَا ذُنُوبَكَ. So, in other words, don't you want to do tawbah so your sins will get erased? Imam Hussein doesn't stand in need of nobody. This is the way he is guiding the people. Every step of his way, he is doing his fariza of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy al Munkar to everybody for whom he can do whatever needs to be done. So, this guy said, when I left the city of Kufa, I found that huge number of people are gathering against to fight against you, and there are very few people who may be with you, but a huge number of people are all against you. So I cannot support you because I know I'm going to die if I support you, and I'm not prepared for death. Very clearly and bluntly, he said, I'm not prepared for death because there are a whole bunch of huge number of people in Kufa I saw before I left. They are gathering to fight against you, and I cannot fight against all that majority, huge number, and I will end up dying, and I am not ready for death. But you know what? In other words, you are a nice guy, you are a good person. I'm not saying the exact words of his, but I'm just trying to interpret his feeling, that this horse of mine is a very nice horse. You know what? I'm ready to gift my horse to you. Ubaydullah ibn Hur al-Jufi says to Imam Hussein, this horse of mine is called Mulhiqa. The name of the horse is Mulhiqa. In whatever war that I participated, whenever I was chasing an enemy, this horse helped me to chase successfully and reach my enemy. And whenever in any war my enemy was chasing me, they never found me because this horse helped me to escape from the reach of the enemy. So this is a very famous horse of mine, in other words. You know what? I will gift you this horse, Mulhiqa, to you. Now let's see what's the answer of Imam Hussain. There are a lot of people in our communities, in Muslim community, who may be providing this, who may be ready to provide this type of support for Imam Hussein if he comes today. I'm busy in my job, 9 to 5, I'm doing this and this and that. But you know what? You can take this only and keep silent and don't ask me for more because I love my life. There may be a whole bunch of Muslims in Muslim community who may be, following the same policy towards Imam Hussein and Ihtimal and some people if he comes today. So look at what Imam Hussein had to say to him. He says, أَمَا إِذَا رَغِبْتَ بِنَفْسِكَ عَنَّا. If you are, in other words, turning away from us, فَلَا حَاجَةَ لَنَا فِي فَرَسِكَ وَلَا فِيكَ. Then we have no need towards your horse, nor do we have any need towards you. Remember in the time of Rasulullah, according to Allama Majlisi, when he was invited by somebody for food, Prophet went to his house, according to that narration, and this guy, before the food started, this guy said to Rasulullah, Lam Urza, I'm not subjected to bala. Prophet heard this remark from the guy, I don't face bala in my life. He didn't touch the food. And Prophet walked away. And before walking away, Prophet gave the remark, Man lam yurza fama lillahi fihi haja. Aw fama lillahi fihi min haja. Hakala mazmoon al-kalam. Whoever doesn't become subjected to bala and test from Allah, then Allah doesn't stand in need of him. And Allama Madlisi, after narrating this riwayat, he says that the reason why the Holy Prophet, ihtimal, and the reason why he did not eat a single luqma from the food of this person, and he walked away from his from that place, is because man la khaira fihi la khaira fi ta'amihi. Somebody who has no khair in his personality, in his ruhaniyat, in himself, has no khair in his food. So when Allah is not testing you, this is the alamat of mustadradin. Those are the people who are heading towards the hellfire. سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So when person belongs to the hellfire and he has no khair in him, Prophet doesn't stand in need of, Allah doesn't stand in need of him. There is no khair in him, so there is no khair in his food. And Prophet is the madhar of Allah, will never eat a single luqma from that food. And he walks away. So look at what Imam Hussain al-Islam says, the son of Rasulullah. Ama idha raghibta bi nafsika anna. If you are, you know, turning away from us, that means you're not ready to sacrifice your life. In other words, that's what we understand in the light of this hadith. فَلَا حَادَثَ لَنَا فِي فَرَسِكَ. We don't stand in need of your horse. وَلَا فِيكَ. And we don't stand in need of you. And not just that, but Imam Hussain added another sentence which is so beautiful, just like all the rest of his sentences. He says, وَمَا كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذَ الْمُغِلِّينَ عَضَدًا. And I'm not the one who is going to take the misguiding people as my helpers. Now this person is now classified in the Zumra of Mudilleen by Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Now Ubaidullah ibn Hur al-Ju'fi is Juz'ul Mudilleen because he did not support the walayat of the Hujjat of his time. So anybody who falls in this category, Imam Hussain is not even ready to take a single penny from him. And it's smallest support from him. I'm not here to take any support from the Muzilleen, Gumrah Kunandegan, and misleading people. Here in our communities you find something, oh, what's bad, you know, yeah, I mean, the guy is bad, but at least you do this with him. The guy is bad, but you at least, you know, do this much with him. What do you mean by that? And we are taking our mawqif and policies from Imam Hussain alayhi salam, not from your opinion. There are a lot of intellectual people around. وَإِنِّي, and then Imam Hussain said, وَإِنِّي أَنْصَحُكَ كَمَا نَصَحْتَنِي. And I am doing nasihat towards you the way you did nasihat towards me. إِنْ إِسْتَطَعْتَ أَنْ لَا تَسْمَعْ صُرَاخَنَا. If you can, that means if you can go as far away from me, then you don't listen to my voice. Look at the statement of Imam Hussain. وَإِنْ إِسْتَطَعْتَ أَنْ لَا تَسْمَعْ صُرَاخَنَا. If you can, that means if you can go so far that you don't listen to my call. وَلَا تَشْهَدْ وَقْعَتَنَا. And you don't witness the event. That means the event when Imam Hussain alayhi salam, ihtimal, and when he's fighting against the Batil and Yazid and all that. And you are not, go as far as you can so you don't listen to my call. And you don't see and witness what I'm doing. فَفْعَلْ, do it. فَوَاللَّهِ لَا يَسْمَعُ وَعِيَتَنَا. I swear to Allah, if anybody listens to our call, لَا يَسْمَعُ وَعِيَتَنَا أَحَدٌ وَلَا يَنْصُرُنَا. There is no one who listens to our call, in other words, but still did not support us, except إِلَّا أَكَبَّهُ اللَّهُ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمِ. There is no single person who may listen to our call but still did not support us except that Allah will throw him into the hell. So what it takes, brothers and sisters, for a person to go by following the deen of Batil to go into the hell fire is to disobey the call of your wali. That's what it takes. And whereas we find Imam Hussain is Ghani ibn al-Ghani, the mazhar of Al-Ghani, mazhar of As-Samad, mazhar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't stand in need of it. He was providing the path of Jannat for Ubaidullah ibn Hur. He was doing an ihsan and man and favor on Abu Ubaidullah ibn Hur if he understands. Just like Imam Hussein did his favor on Habib ibn Mudahir by inviting him. According to that narration, you know, that some scholars have narrated that Imam Hussein wrote this letter and invited Habib ibn Mudahir. This is an ihsan on Habib ibn Mudahir. Imam doesn't stand in need of him, anybody. Min al Hussein ibn Ali ila al Rajul al Faqih. From Hussein, son of Ali, to the man who is faqih, Habib ibn Mudahir al-Asadi, Habib ibn Mudahir. And then he says, in other words, which I'm paraphrasing these narrations in my own words, that we are surrounded by the enemies. Imam Hussein al-Islam is informing Habib ibn Mudahir that we are surrounded by the enemies. And if you can come to help us, come. Imam doesn't stand in need of help. This is Imam Hussein is helping Habib ibn Mudahir to achieve the Jannah. If you can come to help us, come. Habib ibn Mudahir was so happy that he received the letter from Hussein ibn Ali, his old mahbub, his childhood friend, Imam Hussein. When he was a child and Habib ibn Mudahir was a child, and his father, Hazrat Mudahir salamullahi alayh, came to visit Rasulullah for the ziyarat of Rasulullah, and Prophet saw that Habib is walking behind Imam Hussein and picking up the soil under the feet of Hussein ibn Ali and putting over his head. Picking the soil from under the feet of Hussein, putting over his head. This is how his father had did the upbringing and tarbiyat of Habib, you know, to be the ghulam and to be the servant and khadim of Hussein ibn Ali. So we find that Habib ibn Mudahir is the mahbub of Rasulullah. Prophet used to love him. Prophet used to love Habib ibn Mudahir. And the same when Habib became so happy after receiving letter, and now he walks into his house and his wife is there, and she asked him, you know, the time is very critical times in those days. The Shias are being targeted and victimized by Ibn Ziyad. You know, they're everywhere. They are the spies. And they are the army men of Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad spread out in Kufa to find out news and do the surveillance against the followers of Hussein, and so that they can persecute them or torture them or kill them or jail them. In those times now, of course, the wife will ask the husband, whose letter is this? The very critical times. And he said, it's the letter of my Mola, letter of Hussein ibn Ali. And she said, what did my Mola say in the letter? And he said, my Mola says that we are surrounded by the enemies. And if you can come, وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ قَرَابَتِي مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And you know my relationship with Rasulullah. The qarabat of Imam Hussein. You know how much is the qarabat and relationship of Imam Hussein? The Prophet is repeating Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi 70 times in the sajda, and not ready to raise his head until Hussein alayhi salam gets off his back himself. Look at the qarabat. When he went on Mi'raj, Prophet said, I saw in the pillar of Arsh written that Hussein is the misbah of hidayat, the torch of guidance was Safinatu Najat, and the boat of success. How much qarabat that he has. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, Inna Allaha khalaqal jannata min noor al Hussein. Allah created the paradise from the noor of Hussein. You know how much qarabat he has towards Allah and Rasulullah? Wa anta ta'lamu qarabati min Rasulullah. You know my qarabat to Rasulullah. So if you can come to help, come. So his wife said, what are you thinking? He said, I'm thinking about you. That means if I go to support Hussein ibn Ali, what is going to happen to you? And the narration says, she threw her chadar on the face of Habib. And she said that the son of Fatima is calling you and you are thinking about me. If you don't go yourself, then I'm going to go myself to sacrifice my life.
for the sake of Husayn ibn Ali.
Look at the azamat of this household, the great household in Kufa. Look at the azamat.
And he, Habib ibn Mudahir, sent his servant to take the horse at such and such place in the outskirts of Kufa and wait for him. And the narration says, when Habib ibn Mudahir got delayed a little bit,
his servant was addressing the horse and saying to the horse that, don't be worried, if my master delays in coming, I will ride myself and I will go to sacrifice my life for Hussein.
Habib heard that statement and he said to his servant, his slave, now onwards you are free.
And his servant said, this is not insaf. Because as long as I was serving you, you kept me. But now that you are going to serve Hussein, you are setting me free. So I want to go also, so I can also sacrifice my life for Hussein ibn Ali. And this time, the Habib is taking his servant along with him. And there in Karbala, we find Imam Hussein alayhi salam was distributing the ra'yat, the parcham, the alam, the flags among his army men. And there was one flag that he did not distribute. You know, that was kept aside. So we find when somebody asked, Imam Hussein replied, the person who deserves that flag, in other words, he's about to arrive. And then they saw the hubar and dust coming from the side of the Kufa. And they welcomed Habib ibn Mudahir. And Hazrat Zainab sent Hazrat Fizra to find out who about the news. And we find, because he has been listening to the news, that the Lashkar and the army of Ibn Ziyad has arrived. Such and such army has arrived against Hussein ibn Ali. And this time, she went sent to the Fibra to find out. And she came and informed her that, you know, the childhood friend of Hussein ibn Ali, that means the childhood friend of Hussein, Habib ibn Mudahir, has arrived. You know, because he came for supporting Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in other words. And this time, Hazrat Zainab said that, go and say my salam to Habib.
The narration says, Habib ibn Mudahir, he sat on the ground and he started to pick up the soil
and turbat of Karbala and pour over his head. You know, that my lady Zainab is sending her salam to a servant like me.
أنا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق